Hey guys, sit on California Haunts Radio. Let's talk about ghosts. See you in a few minutes.
Hey, welcome to California Haunts Radio. That is the temporary intro for the show. it's different. I'm doing this on my new cell phone. I'm excited to be doing it. I wish I could do TikTok on my new cell phone, but apparently not. You know, I ran a little late. I apologize for that. I was over at, let me get the comments here and get these one here so I can see things. Hang on. Okay. And let me get my banner. Okay. Let me do this from the banner. Okay. Get the comment. Okay. Anyway, I was over at McDonald's. I'm having like major internet issues. My internet, they shut my internet off 5 days earlier. 5 days earlier they should have. And so I have no internet right now until probably next Wednesday or Thursday. So I've had to do TikTok because for some reason yesterday it was a mess as far as all my apps, you know, all my apps were just, it was just craziness. And everything except StreamYard and RSS, where I do my audio feed, everything was messed up. It's like even Facebook, you know, Facebook, I had to change my login. And then when I tried to get the messenger, it wouldn't accept the new login. It was a mess. It was really a mess. And now it's like I finally got things almost under control, but TikTok won't take my logins at all. And I had just changed that 2 weeks ago so I could do TikTok on my laptop. And now TikTok doesn't like my login, so I can't log into TikTok on this laptop, on this phone. And Instagram, although I'm logged into Facebook, although I'm logged into Messenger, Instagram doesn't like my login. So who knows, right? Anyway, I'll be putting count cut on here for the time being. So I'm doing my show on the new phone. And I hope you like it. It's a different type of phone. Tomorrow at 3 p.m., 12 p.m. Pacific, noon, be sure to be here. Author, our good friend Anna Maria Manalo is going to be here with us. And she's got a new book coming out. And you know how scary her stuff is. So she's going to be here with us on the show. So I hope you are here for that. It'll be fun, kind of fun for that. But it's been that kind of day. It's been that kind of day for us. And so I hope you guys enjoy the show. It's just going to be kind of a relaxing night. You know, you can hear my voice is kind of gone. I was over at McDonald's parking lot for 90 minutes doing tarot card readings and everything on TikTok. And it gets to my voice after a while. But it was fun. I got some new followers and things like that. But it is difficult right now. And I'm trying to build up TikTok. I also have a backup account for California Haunts over there. It's California Haunts 2. So if you happen to be over on TikTok, double check California Haunts 2 because that is my backup. And if we can get 1,000 people on that, it seems that this cell phone is more than willing to sign up at California Haunts 2, but not at the main California Haunts account. So, you know, if I had 1,000 people over there sign up, then, you know, we could go live and stuff, and I could go live from here and not have to worry about it, you know, live from the studio. But anyway, yesterday was a very grueling day. I spent 9 hours trying to log into my accounts, and I have them all. It's not like I don't have them all saved. Not only does my iPhone have the login saved, you know, within itself, I also have the login saved because every time I change a login or I join somewhere else, I put it in my notes, you know, the little notepad thing. I put in the little notepad thing to remind, so I can remind myself what I logged in as, you know. But I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. It's been up and down all week. Yesterday there wasn't a show at all because once my internet went, I could not access YouTube to upload anything for you guys. Okay, I'm going to be trying to do that now. I think I can do it on this phone. There's enough memory on this phone where I can move stuff over for you in a StreamYard and do that, you know. But I decided to go live tonight, and then again tomorrow we'll be live with Anna Maria Manalo. And then this weekend, at some point, we're going to be making the change to Restream as well. So there's things cooking. But anyway, I just wanted to share some stuff with you tonight and just hang out with you. And there we go. We got people in. Thank you for the heart, whoever you are. It's going to be hard for me to see the screen at this point because you're like so far away because we're on my cell phone. But welcome to my new cell phone, and this is what I was hoping would happen if the internet did, you know, if the internet went too early in between internet, that I would be using this for the time being until my internet's installed here at the house. And that was supposed to happen not only with StreamYard, but TikTok as well. And TikTok is not being very cooperative at this point. So, like I said, I was over at McDonald's today for 90 minutes. Tomorrow night, Friday nights are really, really heavy duty for TikTok for meetings. So I'm probably going to get my, I got to locate my, my little light that I have for the phone. And I'm going to have to do it that way. And hopefully I don't get stopped by any security or police when I'm out there in the parking lot at McDonald's tomorrow night doing 3 hours of TikTok. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. Last Friday I had 5,500 people come through my chat room. So it was a pretty good night. It was a very productive night. And, hopefully we get that again. That happens again tomorrow night. But anyway, I'm here and I got to talk ghosts with you guys. And I appreciate the like. Thank you, whoever did that. It's been a rough 2 days. And it's hope, you know, like I said, I got everything done and I'm down to TikTok. And, well, I got to add CapCut too, because I have to be able to do video editing on here too as well. You can see by the beginning, I'm trying to like locate my theme music so I can at least do the intros. So, I'm going to put CapCut on tonight, and that'll allow me to do some video editing and stuff. So that'll be exciting. And I could do some creative videos too, which I haven't done and distributed out for a while. But anyway, last night I sat down for about 2 hours on TikTok, and we just kind of shot the air, and it was fun. It was just fun to sit there and talk about things and talk about life and talk about ghosts. And that's what I thought we would do tonight, is talk about ghosts. Let me lower this light over here a little bit. It's blinding me. Let me see what I can do here. There we go. Ah, better. It's blinding me. I feel like putting sunglasses on while I'm sitting here. But we could talk about stuff like that. The other thing that I found odd with my new cell phone, and, you know, I bought the cell phone to the past. I know usually the first bill you get is prorated, right? Especially if you're like in the middle of the month cycle. Well, it's weird because I'm expecting a payment next month, right? I've only had my phone for 2 days. I expected the payment next month. Well, they're hitting me up on the 21st for a payment already. And it's just really odd to me. You know, it's something, you know, you budget during the month for stuff, and then you get hit with something like this. I got to figure out where I'm going to get, you know, the $39 for my cell phone payment. You know, I'm working on that, and it makes me struggle more on TikTok because I'm trying to push for that payment. I think because I can't ride my bike anymore, my actual bike, not my extra cycle, I'm probably going to try to sell that on Facebook Marketplace so I can pay my phone bill. Because that was an unexpected bill. I expected to build up my money. You know, where I was making on TikTok, you know, when I'm averaging a week on TikTok, I was hoping to build all that up and then make this payment and then start making my other payments down the line. But I don't know. I don't know why they're doing, since they didn't tell me when I bought the phone, you know, and started the program, that it was going to be 2 weeks and then boom, you know, I've only had the phone. This is my second day on the phone. So it's something that it just took me by surprise. So I'm trying to wallow and pay that bill. I have to pay that bill somehow. But anyhow, you can see there's no air conditioning on because we have gone into our fall drop temperature. And by the 31st of October, this house will be cold. It will be at the point where things are freezing. So if it goes that fast, we'll have some nice fall weather, which is normally spring weather. And then all of a sudden it'll go, and that's it. And then you come out Halloween and everybody's freezing to death. And sometimes it's raining and ugly. So that's coming. And it's nice to have this cool on. It wasn't, my car was still hot today when I got to McDonald's, but eventually I had the windows down, it's cool off. It's funny, here I'm doing psychic readings in my car. Now one person looked in my direction like, what is she doing over there? What is she saying? Oh, I pulled the death card. You know, that things like that. Nobody said anything like that to me. So it's kind of funny to watch people, you know, because they were parking all around me. But, you know, so hopefully, and I hope tomorrow night I'm able to go out there with my round light, if I can locate it, and I know it's somewhere here from going before, or it might be in my car even, I'm still there, but I'm hoping to get out there with my round light, because the round light will give me more light, to see stuff, you know, out there, and the light wasn't too bad last night. I mean, really, in fact, I might even use my headlamp. I have a really good headlamp, so I just have to get some batteries for it. Really good headlamp. Anyway, welcome everybody, and I thought we would chit-chat about ghosts, you know, some of my experiences out in the field with the California Haunts team, you know, straight from the California Haunts files. But It's just all this stuff going on right now that my head is just whir. It's just like a lot like in a whirl right now, you know. And it's just this bill just totally blew me away. On top of everything else, getting this bill in the middle of everything. But I'm preparing for fiber optic internet to come in here, which should be a lot faster, a lot more efficient than what I had. And if you notice something weird, okay, I'm on Boost right now. I'm not on Xfinity. Have you seen me blink out yet? You haven't seen me blink out yet, have you? Xfinity was awful. I can honestly say that Xfinity did not impress me at all with their internet, right? We'll see what happens tonight. Here I'm talking to you like this. Let's see how stable this is. Let's see how stable this is. This was the big test tonight. See how stable this is. You know, because Xfinity, no matter what time of day it was, I just didn't have enough internet pumping back. You know, so. All right. So let's talk about ghosts. You know, seeing the gentleman that was on, I think it was last week. I think it was last week or the week before. Talking about the Shadow Watchers. I found that really interesting because when I was a kid, I don't think I saw shadow people per se. I think I saw shadow watchers here at the house. You know, I remember like times when my sister would carry me on a Saturday night, would carry me into my bedroom, our bedroom. And I would look at the window and I could see a shadow person standing there. And then they'd turn and walk off to the right by my bedroom window. Or I would see like these hands, like my sister, you know, this is like the 70s, right? So my sister had this psychedelic butterfly thing on the wall. And I remember looking up and I had bunk beds because my other sister was also living with us at the time. And I remember looking off to the right with the nightlight on and I could see a head form, a dark head form in this butterfly thing and come towards me when I was a kid. The other time, again, with the nightlight, my sister, my other sister wasn't around. And I remember lying in bed and I was looking up, it's bunk bed, I was sleeping on the bottom, and I remember looking up and I saw that this hand reach down like this, like it was trying to grab me. That was a shadow being too. So like I said, I don't think they were necessarily shadow men trying to get me. I think they were more like shadow watchers for whatever reason. They were here. But then I started seeing things, as I got older, I started seeing light beams. Everything got lighter. I don't know why, what the deal was when I was younger, you know, seeing shadow things. But when I got older, you know, I started seeing light beings. And even that scared me, it bothered me. Because, you know, I never saw them when somebody else was around. I would see them when I was home alone. Always. I was a latchkey kid. My mom and dad worked. Not out of town, but they worked. My dad would get home at 5:30 every day. My mother would get home at 4:30. And I would have to call her every day when I got home from school to let her know I made it home. And then I would make my meal. I would have a quick little meal. You know, at first I would make top ramen. That's because that's what I knew how to make on the stove. You know, I was like 10, 11, like 11, 12 years old making top ramen. Because it's easy to make. How can you screw up top ramen and cause a fire, right? So I would make top ramen and then I would have a sandwich with it maybe, or I would just make the top ramen and have that. And then it got to the point when they finally got their first microwave. I mean, I was making like frozen frozen French bread pizza. You know how they have that French bread pizza? I would make that. I loved orange juice. And I remember my dad would buy these big things of orange juice. And I would drink these big things of orange juice and eat pizza and chips when I was growing up. You know, I'd get home latchy. But in my kitchen, which you guys are going to see because I'm going to start, maybe this weekend, we'll see. I'll start doing some more cooking videos. You know, I mentioned this before on Facebook that I was going to do that. And I have a lot of hamburger right now and a lot of ketchup, thanks to Marisa, thanks to my producer. And so I want to do my mom used to come home and make quick meals because my dad would be home by 5:30. So she really couldn't make real extensive meals. So my mom would come home and make these really quick meals. And so one of them was these Sloppy Joes. And they're basic, but they taste really good. And that's what I would like to do maybe Saturday. I want to take the hamburger and put it in the fridge to defrost. I don't have a microwave right now. My microwave petered out too, so I don't have a microwave. You'd be surprised what you could do with an air fryer. I've learned really to do some real creative stuff with air fryers. But anyway, so I'm going to see if I can have that defrosted for Saturday. And then I could do a demonstration on making those Sloppy Joes. And having those Sloppy Joes for dinner. But anyway, getting back to the story, so you'll see the little alcove. Right now I've got a bird cage up there for one of my birds. It's the only place I can put it. And so you'll see the little alcove thing where I used to sit and I would face out to the back of my house, looking through the divider area of my, with my dining room on the left, and then my living room was, and back then it wasn't a living room. Back then, well, that it was a living room, but we didn't stay in there. We had a den off to the left of that, but straight through where my living room is now to the back of the house. And I was sitting there and I saw this thing, and it looked like a white sheet, kind of like you would think, a ghost would look like, right? It looked like this white sheet that flew from my fireplace to where my center divider is. And my center divider divides the, that little walk here where my dining room is from where the living room starts. That's where I have, on the other side of there is where I have my TV. And it did. It looked like, you might even say it was angelic because it was so white. And there's no way, over the years I've sat there and as I got older and got into paranormal investigating, I always thought, well, maybe it was headlights from a truck or a car. But at that location, there's no way that it could have been headlights or anything. Not at that angle. Not the way it went across. But it went across from my fireplace to the center divider. The center divider has storage in there, the storage cabinets. You guys have seen them. When I redid my kitchen area, I showed you some video and photos of the work that I did on there, on that center divider. Anyway, so that's where it flew from. It flew from my fireplace bricks to the center divider. And it kind of freaked me out. I didn't want to, back then I didn't know what the heck was going on, really. So I would walk around, I would try to avoid the whole area, or I would run through there thinking something would try to get me. But the funny thing is I found out later, and I did get verification of this like last year, the family that lived in my house previously. And this is what makes me wonder about this white being that I saw, in that I had been told by the neighbor next door that one of the people that was in that family was a nun. There was a Catholic church about maybe a half a mile away. And one of the people in that original family that lived in this house was a nun. And so the nuns would come over here to visit. And they would play badminton in my backyard. And then she would see them. So that started to make me wonder about that white being that I saw, that maybe it was more angelic than anything else, because the nuns were here. But it was nice to get that confirmation, from that, directly from that family, about the nuns being back there. Anyway, so, and this is what's interesting about that, is that whatever this thing is, it stayed in the center divider, or it hung out in my hallway. When my sister had her baby, her first kid, I was sleeping in my room because, 8:30 to bed or else you got to go to school, don't stay up, blah, blah, blah. And my mother thought she saw me coming down the hallway. The kid, the baby was on the couch sleeping, maybe a toddler. I think it was a baby. And they had it blocked off with chairs, I think. But the baby was on the couch and finally fell asleep. And they were just having quiet conversation, watching TV. And my mother saw what she thought was me coming down that hallway. And I remember hearing her holler at me. Don't do that. You'll wake the baby. You'll wake the baby. Guess what? I was in bed. It wasn't me. So I don't know who she saw coming down the hallway. My doppelganger? Maybe it was my grandmother. My grandmother lived here for a long time, off and on. So it could have very well been my grandmother coming down the hallway to see the baby. But my mother definitely saw someone. But then when I asked her about it, she kind of blew it off, but she definitely saw someone coming down the hallway. And no one was there. So, I mean, yeah. And the other, and then linking my grandmother in with stuff is that things happen in my kitchen all the time. Stuff gets moved. I have an electronic garbage thing where, you walk by and it flips right up, right? Because it's got the light sensitive little monitor thing on there. And you walk by and it lifts up. Well, I'll be sitting in my living room and that thing will open by itself. It'll open and close by itself. And what I found out from one of the psychics on my team was that there was a spoon, and I know which spoon it is. And I know my sister would know which spoon it is. Okay? There was a spoon that they brought from my grandmother's house that ended up in my house. And we still have it. It's still in the silverware drawer. And so what somebody told me was that my grandmother is connected to that spoon. So she hangs out in my kitchen. She's like the queen of my kitchen. So that's kind of cool. You know, but at least I know, it's nice to know who it is, right? It's nice to know who's in your kitchen. So apparently she hangs out in my kitchen. Okay, that's cool. That's that's where she wants to spend eternity watching me cook. I'm all for it, right? So yeah, so that's what I was told, was that my grandmother, hi Jerry, my grandmother hangs out in the kitchen a lot. So, you know, that's one of the ghosts in my house. I think I counted like 6 ghosts in my house, and they're all family members. I remember when I started working night shifts, I was working for Cable Data, and I was on the night shift, so I was on the graveyard shift. I was working 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. shifts. And I remember coming home, and sometimes we would get off early. So I would come home around 3 or 4 a.m. And I'd be hungry. I mean, that's my dinner time, right? You come home, and you're ready to, you know, have dinner, relax, and crash your day. And my bar stools around that breakfast nook area over there, the bar stools would squeak when somebody was on them, right? My dad used to sit there and watch TV in his later life. And my grandfather would sit on those stools. But anybody that, it was like the chair I used to have in here, right? Anybody that sat on those bar stools, the bar stools would squeak. So I would be sitting in our den watching TV. And sure enough, I would start hearing the bar stool squeaking. And this is like 3 and 4 in the morning when nobody was up. So somebody was in there. So that would happen. And this is before I even got into paranormal investigating. This is stuff that I just noticed around my house. And then I noticed that there were times when I would come home at 3 or 4 in the morning, the TV was on. You know, so something was messing with the TV. And then somebody was sitting on those bar stools. They had to be. But now they don't squeak because they're different types of bar stools. But they used to be the old squeaky kind. And you could tell when somebody was in there. Really strange stuff, you know. And again, I didn't pay a lot, you know. I knew what it was. I could, you know, I obviously had abilities. But I really didn't give it much mind. I just thought, okay, that's weird. It's late at night. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm overly tired or whatever. But definitely, it did definitely happen. And then I remember later on, before I took the step to become a paranormal investigator, I remember I was going to college, and I would come home, and my mother and father inherited a house from my uncle up in out in Southern California. So they would leave for like a month or two at a time and just go hang out at this house. And sometimes they'd take all the dogs. Sometimes they wouldn't. I hated it because they would take my dog and irritate me, so I asked them not to do it. They started to leave her home more. But then I started to feel sorry for her because something scared her here. Something bothered her when I was not here. Because I would come home, and there's a recliner that's over in the corner of the house, and there's a little space behind it. There's space behind it. I would come home, and she would be cowering behind that recliner, you know, for whatever reason. Like she saw something she didn't like. And this goes back to what was going on. I hope my cousins don't think of this as being out there, because, you know, some of my cousins, like with my uncle, a certain uncle, were close to him, you know, and when he passed, he liked to hang out here. He still hangs out here. Nancy Mass came over one day. I'm jumping around a little bit, but just to give you some thought about this. Nancy Mass came over one day and wondered who the gentleman was who was hanging out up in the corner of my living room. And it turns out it was my uncle. And I know he was here. He's a trickster. He was always a trickster when he was young. And so he's a trickster. And so he would do funny things. And one of the things he did, and my dad told me this, he had a dog that, the first Australian Kelpie we ever got. And when he passed away, my dad brought the dog home. And so we had the dog for about a year and a half before she passed away. And then that's what started. We had her, and then we got my dog Maddie, and then here I am like 5 dogs later with Gypsy. And Maddie was in the hallway at his old house. And my dad said that it was the weirdest thing, because she came shooting out of that hallway backwards. And when she turned around, her eyes rolled back in her head. like she was so petrified of something. And I said, oh, that's just really weird. It never dawned on me that, you know, it could be him. And so the only other time I've seen her do that is when we had a prowler in my backyard. And she went out to poop, you know, one night, it was like 11 o'clock at night. And she came flying back to the back door. She hit the door with her butt and her eyes were rolled back because she was so scared of whoever this was. And so I told my mom, I said, you know, I think back to what happened to you at that house and somebody had to be in that house. And then it finally hit me that Marilyn, this dog, was my uncle Kelpie. And so maybe in the light, in the, you know, the dimness of the light in the hallway, he mistook Maddie for being her and he went to pet her. And Maddie was having none of it. You know, it scared her. But the story of that house goes on. One of my producers and I was always going to Disneyland, loved it when I was working. I'd go down at least once every, you know, I'd make a trip down there at least three times a year just to go to Disney and Universal. And so we went on a trip and we went down there the first time. This is just after, I guess, after my mom had that experience and they'd been in the house, like, I don't know, like a couple of years. And we're there. And so we unlock the house, we go in, everything's cool. And we're sitting there watching TV the first night. We go to dinner. When we got there, the back door was unlocked. And it shouldn't have been unlocked because my mom and dad had locked it when they left. Okay? So we decided to go to dinner, and we locked the back door. Okay? We come back, and the back door is unlocked. And I'm looking at Marisa going, why is this back door unlocked? So then we start to laugh. Because I'm thinking about the incident with the dog, you know. Oh, it's my uncle, ha, 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 ha. And that, just a little while after that, we sat down to watch. We had the front door shut. We sat down to watch some TV in the living room. And while we're watching, because my dad had a rocking chair there, where he would sit and watch the TV. While we're watching the TV, the rocking chair starts to move. Like somebody's rocking. And it seemed like whoever it was really excited to have us there because the rocking chair, you know, was going at a really good pace like this. And we watched it and we both looked at each other and went, wow, it's him, it's gotta be him. So that was the incident we had while we were there. You know, we were there a couple of days. And then coming home, after I get home, things would go missing. Things that I had would go missing. And I knew who it was because he's a prankster. And so I say, hey, so-and-so, put it back. I need to have this thing. And he would do it. It would be like, when I started getting into California Haunts and doing stuff with California Haunts, California Haunts wasn't a paranormal group at first. It was a TV show for public access. And so I was training at a public access. I was training to shoot video and stuff at public access in Woodland. And so we had their cameras and I, you know, cables. The cables would go missing all the time. Could never find them. And then all of a sudden they'd appear. They'd appear back in the bag. No reason. So I knew who it was. You know, I knew right away. And then I would laugh. The other thing that would happen is, you know, how people buy those big old bottles of like Coke, you know, like at Safeway, you buy the big bottle. Hi, Pamela. How's it going? You know how you buy those big bottles? Anyway. My mom and dad would buy those big bottles. Of course, you couldn't put them all in the fridge. So what would you do? You'd put them on the floor in a certain position so they were out of the way, you know, from everybody. And I remember watching, and I saw this happen. My poor dog, again, it goes back to my dog. He liked teasing my dog. Okay, he loved to tease my dog, my poor Kelpie. And I would see her walking across the floor, and all of a sudden these bottles would fall. And the poor dog would be splitting. The bottles would go down like dominoes. You know how they go, once they hit the floor, the plastic bottles, they just bounce and start going everywhere, right? But the poor dog was trying to compensate around them, and she couldn't get around him. So, I mean, I gotta admit, it was funny. It was funny to watch. I know him, his sense of humor, that would have been funny either. So the dog was splaying all over the place. So I saw stuff happen, you know, physical stuff like that happen. And there were other things. Like I said, you know, I would come home from work or come home from school, and the poor dog would be cowering for, you know, behind the chair and stuff. And then it got to the point where she got really rambunctious. I don't know if she was lonely or what was going on with her. But I would find paw prints. Like she was trying to get out my front door. I would find paw prints. I have, you know, I have this front door that has a window at the top. And I don't know if she was just bored or what she was doing or whether maybe she was afraid. But the paw prints were going up to where the window was so she could look out the window. She could really jump this dog. I mean, she could jump a 6-foot fence really easy. And so she would run all the way up there, but it's not like she was jumping. The paw prints went all the way up. And a lot of Kelpies, there's competitions where you see, if you look them up online, Australian Kelpies are good for going over walls. There's competitions with that. And this is what she would do. And I caught her. She was really smart. We'll get back to the ghost in a second. She was so smart. I would have my bathroom door open. And I had a lock on the entry too, because I had we had the one area blocked off from my living room, and I had a lock. We had a doorknob, the kind that went down like this, and for our kitchen. And I would come home, and everything on my bathroom counter was knocked over. Couldn't figure it out. Thought it was the ghost messing around, right? Thought it was the ghost. And I went ahead and put a camera in the shower one time, and I caught the dog. And this is Maddie. She unlocked the kitchen. She flipped the switch on the kitchen door to get to the kitchen door. Went into the bathroom and would get up on the counter, and she would bark out the bathroom window. And she would knock stuff down. By the time I got home, she would leave the bathroom, and she'd go back to the kitchen door. And son of a gun, if that dog didn't shut the kitchen door to make it look like she never got through it. They should be sitting there looking like an angel. Anyway, I'm just saying that's how smart Kelpies are. But that dog, you know, didn't like being here alone because I think he was trying to play with her all the time. We were watching American Idol one night. And there was this Mexican kid on American Idol. And I guess my uncle took a liking to him because when the kid got voted off of American Idol, I know it was him. My uncle knocked over several. I had my medication sitting there next to me, so the pill vials fell on me. So he was upset. I'm leaning at her. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hello, Mike. Hello, Mike. I know Mike for a while. But yeah, so. You know, that would go on, you know, that kind of thing. But then I made the mistake. It wasn't a mistake. I got into collecting Roman and Greek antiquities. Okay? All right. This is just before I got into paranormal investigating. And weird things were starting to happen. And so I had somebody come in because I was filming. So I had somebody come in who was psychic to help me edit the video. And she just stopped in. I had this old desk chair of my father's, real heavy wooden desk chair. And it was sitting in the divider area. And she stopped dead. And her eyes got really wide. And I said, well, what? She says, there's a man sitting there and he's got like what looks like gold armor on. And he's got a red plume on his head. And I just kind of looked at her like, really? She said, yeah, he's sitting, you know, he's sitting in that chair. And I said, well, that sounds like a Roman centurion. And she says, oh, that must be what it is. Well, I had collected coins. I had collected, you know, different Roman antiques. You know, I had some pretty good stuff. It wasn't like it was the stuff you would get that the museums turned down because there was something wrong with it. You know, there was a flaw in it, or maybe it had been patched by the person that found it. Things like that that I ended up collecting. And they used to be fairly good priced on eBay. You can pick them up. So I have I still have that stuff. But it turns out from what the psychic told me with this Roman centurion was that two of the coins that I had been in his eyes, because if you know history back in the Greek and Roman days, when somebody passed away, they would put pennies in their eyes or put coins in their eyes. Because that's how they paid to cross the River Styx to get to the other side. You know that song, Don't Pay the Ferryman? That's what that's about. That's paying coins to I forget who I forget the mythical guy that would take you on the boat down the River Styx or across the River Styx. But that's what that was about. And so somebody had gone, you know, on whatever they were, whether they were legal or illegal, you know, or archaeologists for some dig, somebody would go on and dig and took this man's coins, and I ended up with the man's coins at my house. So I said, well, what does he want? And she said, all he wants is for you to bury the coins. He likes your lemon tree. And so I went out to Michael's, you know, craft store. I bought a box, put some foamy stuff in there, put the coins in there and buried them. And I never saw or heard from that gentleman again. I mean, that's what he wanted. But what I found interesting before this happened was that it was Easter time. And, you know, the kind of, you know, the movies that come out, right, with the Romans and the crucifixion movies that come out. Well, one of my other friends who's psychic came over, and we were just kind of watching this movie. My mom was watching it. And she says, you know, that guy is sitting on the end of the couch watching this movie. And my first thought was, oh, my God, what's he going to think? Because they, you know, they make the Romans look bad in those movies, right? Because of those crucifixions and all that. And I thought, oh, my God, there's going to be problems. And up to that point, he'd been real quiet, just kind of hanging out watching the family. And I thought, oh, my God, we're going to have a problem with it. And so she asked him directly, you know, what do you think of this movie? And he told her he was confused by the movie because he wasn't, thankfully, he wasn't from that era. It was the era before. So he thought that what they were doing was wrong. So, you know, so you never know. But eventually, like I said, when I buried those, when I took and put those coins in a box and buried them in my yard, he disappeared. He crossed over, finally. Because he had the coins, right? He had the coin. In his mind, he needed those coins to cross over. And somebody took them away from him. So the moral of the story, kids, is don't collect Roman ancient antiquities. That's the moral of that story. Now, my mom and dad got a dining room table from another family. And, of course, it had something attached to it. And to this day, there's something weird in my dining room. There's also another ghost that walks back and forth between my dining room and my den area where I keep my cats. And he's not a pleasant type, but he's not going anywhere in the near future. Nancy and I have had this discussion about him. This was on river bottom at one time. This was on riverland before the dams were put in and the river was kept in check. And what Nancy said is this gentleman was a fisherman, and he fell and cracked his head open, and he died from blood loss. So he just went, essentially, he just went to sleep. He never realized he was dead. And so he is what Nancy calls an insane spirit. You know, he's forever back and forth over there, back and forth over there, because he doesn't understand what happened to himself. He's not bad per se, but you can feel that it's kind of like ominous. I used to have my office was back over in that den in the corner, and I could feel him going by sometimes. You could feel the cold breeze coming by. You know, so he was there. And so, I mean, he's still there. But one weird thing that started to happen when I started to hang out with paranormal teams, my abilities started to come back out. Because I did, like I said, I went out and started doing teenage things, you know, and I kind of, that happens a lot to everybody that has abilities. You're very strong when you're young, and then you start getting involved with other things like teenage things, right? Get him, Jerry! You bit off more than you can chew with Jerry, Mike. Anyway, we got a battle going on in the chat room. Anyway, so oh, yeah, okay, I remember now. Again, the center divider area. And out of the corner of my eye, it looked like this being was trying to jump out and grab me, you know, just do a jumping leap to get me. And so here I am in my late 20s, and I'm running past this area because I can see this guy trying to get me. So I mean, he's still there. But you know what? My uncle, he's here too. He keeps him at bay, so it's okay. You know, I can go in there now. My uncle does a good job keeping him at bay. Because he's still there. The guy's still there. Now, getting back to the white being that I saw when I was in school, I was at the same spot eating something. No one was home. And I actually saw the white being go back the other way from my center divider back to the fireplace. I think that's real. You don't believe in ghosts. Okay. I'll buy that. So anyway, it flew back the other way. So who knows? And I've been told by people, Nancy Mass included, that come to my house that the fireplace is a portal. And they can feel stuff going, Karen Clark too. You know, they can feel stuff going down the hallway. It's like a breeze when you walk through my front door, the seconds can feel a big breeze coming from that fireplace. So it is a portal, which happens to be where my living room is. So it makes life interesting being here alone. You know? Yeah. That was surreal. Okay, Mike. That works. See, I'm telling you, Mike likes to pull people's legs. So just go with it. So that, you know, that in a nutshell was what was going on at that point in the house. And it's interesting. And then I would bring stuff home from investigations. Like when I started filming for the TV show, like the Woodland Opera House, there was one particular ghost at this Woodland Opera House that was semi-aggressive because he was like the stage manager of the whole place. And so he didn't like people in there investigating. And he came home with me at one point, and I knew it because I was working on video and I had like 6 videotapes stacked up, you know, to input it in my laptop and into my computer. And I got up to move something and all the tapes came flying across. They were all knocked over flying across. That wasn't any of the ghosts I have here. I know the ghosts I have here. I know what they do. So I can tell when it's somebody different. And that was, and I think that was him. And that whole video, even trying to make it, took me 3 times the time that it should have because things kept going wrong with the computer. So that tells me right there that, you know, that he was interfering with it, with the whole thing. Finally, but the thing is, with ghosts like that, especially if they're not attached to you, they're only going to stay around a few days, and then they realize they're not where they're supposed to be, so then they take off. Or like me, around the neighbors who laugh at me, I open up all my doors and windows, and I kick them out. I yell at them and kick them out, and the neighbors think it's hilariously funny. You know? My dad was sitting at that bar area one day, and my mom had some... My mom liked artsy things, so somewhere she got these roses that were made out of material that were stuffed. And so she had them in a little flower vase up on the bar. I mean, not on the divider. And my dad, all of a sudden, I hear him go, come here, you gotta see this. So I go running up there, and there was a flower that had been pulled out of the vase, and it was hanging in the air, like this. And then it fell to the ground right in front of us. And my dad looked at me, and I looked at him, and he smiled. And I said, well, that's life in the house. You know, that's the way it is here. We just have things going on. And then it's not because I'm home alone either. I mean, this is stuff that happened with my family around and everything. My dad lived later life, so my mom saw stuff in here, you know, in this house. But my father was, I know I'm missing stuff because there's been so much going on, you know, with different events in this house. You know, so much going on. But I remember this was my dad's room as he got older and closer to death. And he used to sleep, in fact, right where the backdrop is behind me. You guys, this is like, you know, you guys don't realize I've got a closet in front of me to take the sound, you know, to take the sound. And then I have, like, if you were sitting in your SUV in your back seat, that's where the backdrop is, right there. There's about maybe 2.5-3 feet between where my chair, the back of my chair is in the backdrop. And behind where the backdrop is where my dad's bed was. And it faced the bathroom, in the bathroom back there, where I used for storage. And he used to tell me that he would see somebody, it was a woman, he would see somebody in the mirror walking back and forth. And he felt like he was being stared at. And he was so convinced by it that he had me bring him some paranormal equipment and set it up in here one night. And it was cute. I got a video of him sitting in bed, and he's got an EMF meter, and he's got a recorder, and he's got a camera. So he's ready to get, you know, whatever he needs. And they didn't show up that night. Well, I can tell you from experience that after my dad was gone and I moved in here originally, And I used to work over at that, the other side of the wall over here off to the right. The camera's backwards. To the right. To the right. Okay. That I used to feel like I was being watched, like there was a woman standing there watching me. And of course, I get on the phone to Nancy. You know, I'm making that call, and Nancy said it was my one of my dad's sister, one of my aunts watching me. But his sister had died like years and years and years and years and years ago. But she would stand in that bathroom and watch me. She's not there anymore. She's kind of once my father passed away, that's who she was waiting for. You know, that was that pre-death kind of that seeing somebody before you die kind of thing, pre-death apparition. So she stopped, kind of, you know, later on as things faded out. And I think she stayed around too because, you know, my dad died in June or in July of 2011. I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure in November 2011. So I think she was hanging around because of my heart failure too, because, you know, she knew I had heart failure, so did my dad. Another incident that happened related to that was that the light over where my dad used to sit wouldn't stay lit ever. It would blink and stuff, like it wanted to die, but there was nothing wrong with it. I put new bulbs up there. It was like it looked like there was a short up there, right? And then I come in here, and I used to have those silly apps. I don't use those apps anymore. I used to have them on my phone for fun. And I remember coming in here, and the app had gone off, and I heard a voice, and I thought, what the hell is that? So I go over and check it out, and the message was, hospital now, unwell. And I thought, okay, you know, what's up with that? And so I did go to the hospital, found out I had congestive heart failure. Once I went through that and went through the procedures, the light, I never had another problem with that light in the kitchen at all. Never had anything happen on that, you know, that, well, I can't say that. It hasn't happened with that thing because it did like a year ago, but on that app. The other thing with the app that happened, and it wasn't so much the app, but I was going in and I was, you know, they have to put you through with heart failure. They have to put you through the whole thing where they inject your blood with the color stuff because they want to see how fast your heart's pumping. My heart was pumping at like 180 beats a minute. It was bad. It was bad. But then it would settle down and stop. But it was bad. And so I had a lot of trouble. I had to go downtown to have this procedure done. And I was nervous. I mean, my mother was sick, you know, so at that point, I think my brother was taking care of her so I could go to the doctor. And I was nervous about leaving her. And I went to this, every time I would go to this appointment and walk through the door, my heart rate would start to jump again. And so they couldn't take me. So the third try, I took my headphones with me because I was going to listen to music and try to stay calm, keep myself meditated down. And I remember sitting in this little waiting room. Couldn't have been bigger than what I'm sitting in now with my studio. And I was one of the local stations was on this FM 102. And at that time, they played pop music. And I remember listening to it. And the funny thing was, all of a sudden, the music changed. You could hear the dial change. And I thought, what is that, you know? And it turned out what came on was like music from the 30s and 40s. And it happened to be my father's favorite song of all time. And that's when I knew that my dad was there. That's when it finally dawned on me. Everything added up. You know, the message on the app, the thing that was going on with the light in my kitchen, and then the music. It finally hit me that my father had congestive heart failure for years. And so it finally hit me that that's who that was. He was with me. And it calmed me down. It calmed me down a lot to the point that they could actually do the procedure and see how, you know, see how my arteries were and my veins were. So he was with me on that one. And I can tell you that was 2011, and I never had another problem with a light bulb in there. Never. So there's something to this stuff, right? You know, you see this stuff enough, and you know, people will. You got the debunkers and everything out there, which is fine. I said you need to have the debunkers because there is stuff that happens that can be explained. But when you see stuff like I have over and over and over, you know, not only with my house, but going out to different locations, in other people's houses, you start to believe this stuff because. You know, I mean, you just put two and two together. I have two big filing cabinets in the storage, in the bathroom storage area because there's a closet in there. and they're full of all the cases we've done, you know, so that I can go through, if I get a certain case that's going a certain way, I can go through and pick the other case and compare and contrast to see if it's a similar situation. And what did we do in that situation? That can be done in this situation, right? So I keep records of everything. I keep records on my own stuff, meticulous records. I mean, I don't even think what I told you guys is like one third of what has happened here in this house. Because there's been other stuff that's happened too. And, you know, some of it happened after my mother died. I know when she's here. You know, being the ghost hunter that I am and knowing that some ghosts have, that you can smell like lavender and stuff when a ghost appears. What did I do when my mother passed away? I bathed her in Dial body wash because it has a certain smell. And what happened the day she died? Sure enough, my friends came over to stay with me as I was here alone. Both my friends came over to stay with me. And as we're sitting there talking, I could smell my mother. I could smell that smell from that body wash walking around us. And my other friend looked at me and she took me aside and said, "Well, do you smell that?" So I wasn't the only one that smelled it. And I said, "Yeah, I smelled it." And then it dawned on me, it was my mother. It had to be my mother. She was making sure I was all right, checking out my friends. You know? And then when I woke up the next day, she was sitting on her love seat in the same spot she always sat. And she looked real healthy. So she had come back to see me afterwards. And there was other stuff. I mean, the day of her funeral. I remember we were in the car and then on the way over to the cemetery, we could smell her. The same smell came in the car with us. And then after the service, going to my niece's house for the wake, she was in the car with us too. She came to the wake. So, I mean, it was stuff like that. But being the ghost hunter that I am and knowing that smells are a factor with ghosts and paranormal activity, I did. I made sure that I bathed her or something that I would be able to tell it was her when she came back to recognize her. And to this day, she comes. I can tell when she's here. Halloween, especially. Once I get my Halloween decorations up in front, she loved Halloween. When I'm walking around out front, you know, trying to get my final photos before the trick-or-treaters come, she'll be out there. She did that last year. I can smell her. Christmas, same thing. Plus, she used to go to, when we went to movies, she would grab my hand a certain way. And she had, you know, her nails weren't long, but she would, because she would get nervous and kind of freaked out by the movie, she would dig her hand, her nails into my palm a certain way. And sometimes when I'm watching TV, depending on what I'm watching, she'll grab my hand and I can feel her digging her nails into my palm. Or she'll laugh and I can hear her laugh at something. So, I mean, she comes around. My sister's even kind of witnessed her. My sister said that she was falling backwards and she felt someone grab her. She felt it was my mom that grabbed her. You know, when she was falling backwards so she wouldn't hit the ground. So, I mean, how could I deny that ghost? How could I say, even as a psychic medium, like I'm working now, like on TikTok, how could I deny that ghosts exist? You know, all the stuff that's happened to me personally here within my family and my house, and the stuff I've seen out on investigations. You can't deny that stuff. Am I hallucinating or... Am I hallucinating all the time? Is that what's going on? I can't deny this stuff. I'm not a person that would hallucinate. Might have a bad dream here and there, but I'm not gonna see things. It's just not me. Dogs, my dog, my deceased dog. I mean, Maddie came back a couple of times. I've seen her. Reba, when she passed 2 years ago, day after Christmas, she came back right away to see me. She came back in a dream to see me. And I see her walk by all the time. I've had friends that have come over and seen her walking through the house. Especially Maddie, too. They'll see Maddie. Monica, my friend, my good friend Monica would see Maddie all the time. You know? So I mean, so this is something you can take heart with, because even though, you know, your loved ones may return, your pets do too. Your pets will return. They'll either come to you in dreams, or you'll see them. But you'll get a fleeting, you know, you might see them completely, or you'll get a fleeting glance. You know, you'll see them go by on the corner of your eye. I remember one night I was cooking, and Gypsy was in her crate. And I know it was probably Reba, the last Kelpie I had before Gypsy. And I remember looking over, and I could see her. I could see her butt as she went around the corner. All Kelpies have the same butt. Especially if they're black Kelpies. They have a tan butt. You know, encircled by black. And I saw the butt. And I thought, well, did I lock Gypsy up? Or maybe I didn't lock her up right and she got out. And I go around the corner to see Gypsy, and she's locked up in her crate. Right? So, I mean, it's stuff like that. I remember one time before my mom passed, about a year and a half before my mom passed, when she had her first stroke. And she didn't want to go to the hospital, because after my dad died, she was just really PTSD with doctors. And so I tried to talk her in that the night she had the stroke. I tried to talk her into going to the hospital. She wouldn't go. So I brought her home. I put her to bed. I said, okay, sleep on it. We'll go in the morning. And she agreed to go in the morning. So she fell asleep, and I was sleeping on the couch. I got into the habit of sleeping on the couch when I was taking care of my dad, because you never knew when something was going to happen. I was sleeping in my clothes, right? You never knew when something was going to happen. You had to be up instantly to get, you know, to call an ambulance or whatever to get him to the hospital. And so I was sleeping on the couch, and I happened to wake up, and I saw what looked like my mother standing at the edge of the, you know, again, between the fireplace, right? The whole fireplace and the divider, but she was standing right by the divider. And I looked exactly like my mom. And she turned around, and I started to follow, but she disappeared. And I go down the hallway, and I thought, oh my God, maybe mom died. You know, it was one of those death apparitions. And I go down the hallway to see my mom, and my mom was sleeping away peacefully. And the only thing I could think of was, it wasn't my mom, but my aunt, you know, my mom's sister that preceded her looked a lot like her. I'm not going to mention names because the family is on Facebook, so I'm just going to go there. And then it dawned on me that it was her sister that had come to check on me and then check on my mother. The other thing that happened that was kind of interesting too was that I had a cousin who died young, and I'm not going to get into that either because some of those guys are online now too. And he was about probably his 20s when he passed. And he and I were fairly close. And my mother and I, you know, you work with people that are disabled like that, especially with Alzheimer's, and you can get frustrated sometimes. And the best thing that you can do is to get up and leave the room and just go cool down, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to lose your temper. So I remember we got into kind of an argument, and I said, look, you stay here watching TV. I'm going in the office. Don't come down and bug me. Just watch TV. I put grease on for her. And then about like 15 minutes later, she comes running down the hallway. She says, he's here. He's here. And I said, well, who's here? Your cousin's here. He's sitting on the couch. You have to come see. So she recognized my cousin. I go running down the hall. Of course, I can't see him. But she insisted he was here. And what I think happened was that, you know, because like I said, people are always around me. And the first thought I had was that because I left the room to go gather my thoughts, right? My cousin came here to keep an eye on her to make sure she didn't have any problems. And that's what I think happened. He came by to sit on the couch and watch her to help me out. So I thought that was kind of cool. You know, but that was her coming down the hallway telling me. She got really, I mean, even though she had Alzheimer's, and my team will vouch for this, she got really, you know, psychically really inclined. I mean, there were some, in fact, there's not enough time today to tell those stories, but I mean, there were some real funny stories of things that involved her. You know, like, one I can tell you is that I made her tuna sandwich one day, and she had a blanket, and she was taking bites of her sandwich, and then she would hold it up like this, and then she would cover herself up. And I said, well, what are you doing? She says, well, they won't leave me alone. I said, who? She says, the people, they're right there. And I said, well, what are you doing with your sandwich? And she says, well, I'm feeding them. I'm sharing my sandwich with them. And she was doing this. And I said, well, Mom, don't do that. If you stop feeding them, they won't come. And she looked at me and went, you're right. So that was one of the things, you know, that she would do. But we would do investigations, like we did this investigation at the Iron Hotel. And I saw her flirting with something. I mean, literally flirting. She's in a wheelchair. And she told me, the two of us were standing there going, well, what are you doing? And she goes, yeah, the Roman Coy story, yeah, one of my favorites. And she goes, she says, he's really good looking. And I said, who's really good looking? She says, that cowboy over there. So we turn around and no cowboy. And we looked at each other and we were like, okay. And so she's flirting with him. And I said, Mom, you know, honestly, you don't know what that thing is going to do to you. So let's not flirt with him. We don't want to bring him home and stuff. Let's not do that. But that was another, you know, incident when she did that stuff. So, I mean, I was going through it with her. So, and I remember going to the doctor's office with her because they would ask me if she was hallucinating or stuff. And I said, well, that depends. And I was real kind of like evasive, toe on the ground. And I'm glad doctors now are more open to that stuff, you know, when you talk about it. But they never used to be. And I remember kind of toe on the ground and going, well, I don't know what you term, you know, hallucinating because I'm a ghost hunter. So what you guys might think of hallucinations, I believe is actually, you know, she's seeing stuff. And so I really never got an argument, but it was a fine line to walk, you know, with the doctors, you know, but there's still stories that I didn't tell you tonight that happened here. But I mean, it's very numerous. I mean, I could just sit here and make a list, make a list, make a list, make a list, one after the other of stuff that's happened here. Even now, within the last couple of weeks, there's been stuff. But you get used to it. And like I said, I know who's here. And I know what they do. And I can tell when one comes here that doesn't belong here because they don't act the same. You know? And yeah, and it's interesting because I don't know who sits in that recliner that's back there behind my couch. But Gypsy is fascinated with getting up on my couch and getting up on the center armrest, and she peers over the back of the couch. Now it might be another dog because Pepper, when Pepper the Kelpie was alive, she would sit back on that recliner. That's where she sat. So maybe that's who she's seeing. And she's not, whoever it is, she's not afraid of him. She just stares at him. She stares. Or she'll be running or walk through my house and she'll be barking at the air with no one there. There's nothing there. So it still happens here. More so than sometimes I'd like, but it still does happen here. Okay, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it for tonight. And tomorrow at noon Pacific, I'll be back with Anna Maria Manalo. She's got a new book out, and guaranteed that book is going to be absolutely petrifying, because it usually is. But I appreciate everybody coming tonight, and yeah, so we'll have a guest tomorrow, but it'll be New Pacific, okay? And like I said, you know, it happens, and like this phone bill coming up, I just didn't see it coming. You know, it's going to be $41 actually that I have to come up with in the next week and a half, and I just did not see that coming. So I'll have to see what I can do about that with TikTok and stuff. Maybe I'll sell. Like I said, I'm not healthy anymore to be riding a bike because my balance is totally thrown off. So I'll probably try and sell my bike on Facebook Marketplace to try and get the money. But I mean, this was not expected in my budget. I figured it would be a month before my first cell phone payment came due. But see, here I am on here with you guys. And because I don't have anything here in the house, it's already paying itself. You know what I mean? It's already paying for itself. So it makes me excited to think that. Anyway, thank you guys. I'll see you guys tomorrow at, let me get my banner thing going here. Grand. This is all new for me doing it this way too. Let me cue up the end here. I'll get used to this too. Add overlay. No, don't want to do that. Here we go. Anyway, like I said, thank you guys for coming tonight, and I will see you tomorrow at noon Pacific, and we'll be talking with Anna Maria Manalo. Real excited. Again, you know, the intros are going to be a little different. I'm going to after I get done here and have dinner, I'm going to get CapCut put on this phone so I can do better video editing. I just threw that intro out there today, so I'm going to be fixing that, you know, intro out there. Okay. But yeah, anyway, if anybody, you know, I'm just saying, like with that $41, if anybody has a spare, you know, $40 they could lend me, I could pay you back or whatever, that would be great, you know, so I can make that payment. Because I really expected my first phone payment. They didn't tell me that it was going to be due like 8 days after I got my phone. So I've only had the phone for 2 days. And then, they want to pay me on the 21st. So if somebody could help me out with that, I mean, it's totally unexpected bill for me. So I'm really trying to figure out where I'm going to pull it out of. So I really appreciate it, you know, but you don't have to. It's all good. You know, I hate begging. I hate that. I hate that. You know, this thing with TikTok too, I was doing really good on TikTok, and now I'm kind of limited by what I can do because I can't do the TikTok here anymore. I have to do it in my car. That's what I've been doing. So it's been an adjustment for me. All right. On the happy note, let's do this. Thank you all for coming. Enjoyed the chats today. Mark Prine, you always crack me up. Jerry, Pamela, thank you so much. And I appreciate each and every one of you. I'll see you tomorrow, noon Pacific. Have a great evening, guys.